Welcome, BBS. Welcome to the worldwide production of the Winfrey Show. I'm glad to have you here. We've got people on the conference line right now, and Win is not in yet, so we're just chatting.
Chat,
yeah. What happened to all the chatter? Welcome to the Wednesday night conference call, caller. Please state
Hello.
Your name and location.
I'm Julianne in San Diego.
Hey, Julianne.
Hi.
Glad to hear you.
Thank you. Glad to hear you.
Welcome, caller. Welcome to the Wednesday night conference call. Please state your name and location.
Hi, Cleo Beavis, New Canaan, Connecticut.
Well, welcome.
Thank you.
I guess Heise is in Holland.
Yeah, he's attending his mother's funeral. Welcome, caller. Welcome to the Wednesday night conference call. Please state your name and location.
Pittsburgh.
Welcome, Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
Who's there from Pittsburgh? I'm from Pittsburgh. Who's from Pittsburgh?
Carolyn.
Hi, Carolyn. I'm Mimi. I live in Arizona, but I'm from Beaver County.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Where are you from?
I live in Shadyside.
Oh, my friend David Spear does, too.
Oh.
He's been in the healing arts for 40 years. He's not on these calls right now. He was on a couple.
Oh, okay.
Mimi, I have a very special message for you. Somebody really is grateful for that writing you did.
Who's this?
This is Dwayne.
Oh, hi, Dwayne. Great. Thank you, Dwayne, for stepping up. Somebody's very happy with it, huh?
Absolutely, I guarantee it.
Well, that's nice to hear. I've got a bunch more. Huh?
It was a great healing for this person.
Oh, that's nice. Oh, I wrote that so long ago, and really.
Welcome to the Wednesday night conference call. Please state your name and location.
Percy, North Carolina.
Hey.
Barry, Nevada.
Nevada. Hey, anybody?
Ron in Mountain Grove.
Hi. If we post a poem or a piece of writing or anything. Are we allowed to identify our emails or anything in there? Are we allowed?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can identify yourself if you want to take the traffic.
I just think it'd be nice to be connected to people that resonate on a similar wavelength. You know.
I agree.
Shoot
an email expressing the same thing. You'll probably tell you. Yeah, go to Team Shift or something like that. That's a good idea.
I'm sorry, go to what? I didn't hear.
Oh. Stand by.
Welcome, caller. Welcome to the Wednesday night conference call. Please state your name and location.
Joan, Newport, Rhode Island.
Hey, Joan.
Welcome, Joan.
Thank you.
Glad to hear you.
It's better we go to pound one. Do you know how to do pound one?
Excuse me, Dwayne. This is Wynn, and I'm gonna start the call. Okay, thank you. Just a moment. Hang on. Figure out how to mute people. All right. Welcome, everybody that's checking in. This is Winfrey. We're going to start in just 1 second. And okay. Okay. Let's see. I thank everybody that was doing the greetings. And Terry, are you on yet? People are waiting. were driving around Southern California, and we just checked into a place just a half hour ago, getting it all together. So excuse us for being getting it together. And one moment. One moment.
This is normally where the Jeopardy music kicks in, so you guys can just do that in your head.
Which music?
No, I said the Jeopardy music. Da, da, da.
Maybe I should play a song while we're getting it together.
Or you could tell everyone
where
you've been traveling all over California. Oh, there she is.
Okay, Terry's here. We got it together. All right. So let's just go right into it. If you're checking in for the first time or you're new, let me just start the recording and I'll say this.
This conference is being recorded.
This is February 19th, 2014. My name is Lynn Free with Terry Brown, and we are in Southern California. And this is our Wednesday night call, and I was just about to say that we invite people to send us questions, and we do a live session, and we ask these questions online, and, you know, unrehearsed. And, of course, Terry is a voice that can translate things from higher realms, and so they say, and I approach this as a huge cosmic experiment that I don't tell anyone to believe anything and believe our sources are who they say they are until they get some kind of validation that confirms that for themselves and it works for them. And in general, I also say that channeled material can sometimes be skewed. Sometimes there can be bleed through from the consciousness of the person bringing through the messages. Sometimes it's even possible for a negative source to come in. And I don't think that happens too much, if at all, on our calls. But also, when somebody asks a question, the answer to that question may be personal for that person, and it may or may not work for you. So, you know, you have to keep your discernment on your toes. And the real bottom line here is can you make something work for you? We all have patterns that hold us back on all levels, whether it's emotional, whether it's spiritual, whether it's financial, whether it's in relationships, and sometimes just questions about how the universe, and we approach this call in a pretty broadband way, and you know, we'll cross over to lots of different kinds of questions, and sometimes they don't want to answer a question, or they'll answer it off-center. I have had experience where I have asked a question, and they answered it. But later on, I found that their answer was not exactly accurate because they were actually prompting me to discover something for myself. rather than telling me exactly how it is. So those are all the possibilities. But the bottom line is many people have had life-changing transformations as a result of our calls, as a result of the wisdom on the calls, and that's why we keep doing it. And on that note, I introduce Terry. Terry, are you there?
I'm here. Hello, everybody.
And of course, Terry, you probably read about her on our website. And she is an awesome vehicle to bring this stuff through, and she's extremely highly intended. And that's one of the things that protects the energy on these calls. And another thing is, just by being here, you're helping to anchor the frequency of these higher frequencies into the Earth plane, which is a really valuable thing to do at this time of transition. So with all that preamble, I think we're ready to get started. I'm going to do what I call our calling in of the light. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this line, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. And we see ourselves in this flow of energy that radiates from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energies of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection amongst all of us present who would free willingly want to participate in that. And we invite those sources that are positive service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with our energy and create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And some of you can feel the energy on the line right now. Some of you can. When we do this, we're actually doing it. I think we're doing it. We are moving our energies through the veil. We are making a collaboration with each other. And we have these intelligences in other realms that say that he created the universe. That's pretty far-fetched, but that's what they say. And the consistency of the information over, it's been 10 years now, 12 years, has been very consistent. And you can decide if that's true or not. But on that note, let me turn it over to them and see if they have a greeting for everybody.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We are pleased to be with you this 19th day of February 2014. And this is Ra'an. We are a combination of part of the Ra group and part of the Elohim group, and have come together to connect with your density and with those people in your density that wish connection and find this connection and are open to be connected with. And we are here with our energies available to take questions and to assist where it is for the highest good and where you wish. Do you have questions?
Yes, we do. First question is from, just a moment, Barbara Jung in Houston, Texas. In 2013, I had a tumultuous romantic relationship, which has had major impacts on my life, both positive and negative. I'm having a difficult time forgiving, letting go, and moving on. Can you help me understand the purpose or lesson I was supposed to learn from this man? Was this a karmic type of thing? What are the things I should focus on when I think about this relationship? Thank you.
Thank you. One of the most important things is forgiveness. Forgiveness of anything that you may have done and forgiveness for anything that he may have done. This will untie the knot that is keeping you connected to past life karma and is keeping the disturbance in play. There are things that you to learn, when you learn them, would be able to disconnect the disruptions that have occurred. One of the things is, as we have said, forgiveness, and it's you have mentioned forgiveness so that you are able to reset and clear the deck and to get beyond or before any of the disruptions. As before the disruptions, there was an equanimity, and after the disruptions, which you interiorized into, then there were attempts to handle the energies and the situations and the feelings that occurred. So once you are able to forgive, then you can begin to move back into equanimity and to learn that the disruptions aren't the be-all and the end-all. And in the area of the disruptions are areas of earlier situations, earlier karmas, some of it which was trained when you were young, areas which you were trained into, which took hold only because of earlier patterns in other lifetimes, areas which you needed to learn to let go of, to know that beyond the disruptions is the equanimity and the love and the harmony that you seek. Once you get the breath, the sense back of the harmony, then you can begin to step outside of the disruptions and to put the disruptions into a place where you can handle the disruptions easier. Then you can look at the disruption and you can see it as not the be-all and the end-all, but that you are the source and you are greater than any of the disruptions. You are greater than the disruptions in the connection that you experienced with the gentleman. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Mark Wales in Altadena, California. I am 11 months sober from an addiction to painkillers, and I am still going through an incredible struggle in my mind. The focus and clarity that I once had are gone, and I am desperate to regain them. Can your sources see what is keeping me in this state and what I can do to recover? Can they help me heal my mind? Thank you.
Thank you. You have moved into an area with the painkillers, an area of chaos that you have unleashed, and there is healing that is needed in this area. One of the things to do is to observe each day and each just each thing that comes in to observe it. And the clarity is still there beyond the things that have been triggered. The triggers have triggered different areas of your past all at one time. That is one of the dangers with drugs. It can bring in a multiple of disharmony, a multiple of things that have in your past been there and have, there's an echo. We need to take away this echo. Do you hear the echo?
Just a moment here. It's coming from Winston.
Okay.
I have the volume on my phone all the way down, so I don't think it's coming in through my phone, but try now.
All right. Many of the things, the unclarity has come in by too many past things having been triggered at the same time. And when that is true, when there are many things that have been triggered all at once, it leads to a fuzziness in thought. There is an area of the brain that has been fried by the drugs that you have taken and need to recover in that area. We would suggest drinking enough cool water in the daytime to help detoxify and get those drugs out of your system, and stay with the program of staying off the painkillers, and stay with the program of detoxifying your body. There are alternative healers that can help you detoxify. A good colonic therapist can help with this. To choose a very good colonic therapist to help to detoxify the liver, for the painkillers have built up in the liver and then are feeding back into the system and making a reverberation loop in the functioning of the body. Once you clear the toxicity out of your body, then the mind will become more clear again, and take very good care with eating a good clean diet with plenty of digestive enzymes so that you can digest your food and do not build up any more garbage in your system, and can release, keep the digestion system going, and release the toxins, have an open channel to release the toxins through the digestive tract and through the kidneys. These are things that we suggest to stay with the program that you are on, to stay off the painkillers, and to clear your body of toxins so that you can again achieve your clear channel, and to clear your liver of toxins. This will not only help you for clarity of mind, but will help your immune system to build strong, which will help your whole body to recover.
Thank you. Do you see a product like laminine could help this gentleman?
That would be something that would help build the immune system, which is the next step after clearing the toxins out of the body. We would suggest colonic therapist, alternative investigation of alternative means for detoxifying the body, checking with more than one source in ways to clear the body, to take target substances to build the kidneys, to build the liver, and drinking plenty of water, taking of B vitamins, taking of products that can help you build your system back.
Thank you. Next question is from Marshall, and he didn't, by the way, I just wanted to check, how is the echo?
The echo is still some there. It is better, though.
Okay. Marshall didn't give his city, and but I think you'll pick up from the question. He recently started listening to the calls with his father. My question is that every now and then, I will feel a pulse of energy or something of that nature pass through my body. I feel almost lightheaded sometimes, and I almost blank out. Some of these pulses are more powerful than others. My father gave me a pendant that helps with meditation and such. And as we started listening to last week's call, I suddenly got these pulses more frequently and more powerfully while wearing the pendant, sometimes one after the other. I've been questioning what these pulses are for a while now. I'm very curious as to why they suddenly became more frequent while listening to the calls. And to be honest, it's a bit scary not knowing why this is happening or why it feels so uncontrollable. Thank you.
Thank you. The pulses are the energy beginning to flow to your body, and you may wish to also on wearing a pendant as you get used to the pulses. Give us a moment. As you become more open to the energies, then they come in and you can feel them. As you become more open, you can learn to be more open or to back off. So you can learn to control, that you have control over the pulses of energy. This is a good exercise for you, because as you become more familiar with the pulses, you become more familiar with the control that you have over the pulses, which also increases your control over the energies of your whole life, and to learn that you have control over your thoughts and over the energies, that you can turn them down, you can turn them even off. So begin to practice when you feel the energies to turn them down or to turn them off, so that you know that it is you that is in control.
is this a situation where, as he goes through this over a long period of time, it might lift his whole level of hologram and these pulses just become a higher energy that he holds in his space?
He can lift his self, his tone. He can lift his control over his environment. And this is a good, viable exercise that can be done to move through the energy, let the energy move through him, be able to disconnect from the energy and to put forth his own energy and to know that he is not in control of these energies, to for him to learn control so that he knows he is source and he is able to go out into the world and know that he is not the other people's thoughts. He is the one that is in control. He is source. And gently to be able to experience more and more control.
Thank you. Next question is from Mimi in Tucson. And Mimi is somebody that has a lot of gifts that feels she has not been able to share her gifts, like she's been held down. So the question is, what is the nature of that which has held me down when I attempt to share my gifts, abilities, my soul print, and purpose on this earth? And that has harmed me physically to stop me when I attempted to move forward over the last almost 20 years. And what can I do, if anything, to gain my freedom?
Thank you. You're just like someone that is learning to walk, like a child that is learning to walk, that is learning to put forth your energies in moderation so that you do not attempt to put everything out all at once, to learn how to modulate your exit of energies into your space and the entrance of energies out from your space, to learn how to modulate it and to become in control of that. So if you feel that what you are putting out isn't able to reach, and to do the things that you wish to do or to have the effect that you wish to have, then you need to observe maybe the environment is not ready for what you have to offer. This is something that we as the Elohim have experienced so often, that we put ourselves out there and there is no one on the other end to pick up on us, but we see that you are picking up on us and you are reaching us. So you are a very high vibration, and to know that you are working in a third density where the people are struggling with duality and struggling with their manifest life, and they are not open to higher energies as they're in so much immersed in what they are doing and in making it go right in their life. So observe them. This is something that we need also to do, is to observe them and to know that this is their path and they need to go through the things that they are going through to find their way, and to seek the people that are open to you, as some people will be open to you, and you will be able to express yourself, and they will be able to get it. They will be able to get your poetry, and those are the people that you can play with, to give and take with. That is our answer.
Thank you. When somebody is as open as Mimi is, are there external forces that try to keep her compressed, to keep her gifts from being manifest?
Thank you. There are external forces that seek in general to keep mankind under control by dispersing aluminum in the atmosphere to dull the effect of the brains of the people, to slow them down, to keep them complacent. There is a big effort to keep people dumbed down so they do not cause trouble. And this is not personal to one particular individual, as it is to a group of very sensitive individuals that they as a group, that the powers that be as a group wish to sedate them so they are not aware as they might be, and they are not expressing the consciousness that they are capable of. We do not see a particular program against you, but a program against people who are aware as you are, or to keep people from becoming aware. That is our answer.
Thank you. From D. Hall, and she's been trying to contact her guides, and after doing some reading on the subject, I just chose to ask them to speak to me, just to let me know they're there. I unexpectedly heard a voice last night, a female voice, say hello in a voice and tone I've never heard before. I do worry about negative entities approaching me. Was this just in my head? Was this a guide? Was it my guide? Was it positive or negative? Do I need to protect myself? Thank you.
Thank you. You are reaching out, and you are getting answers from your reaching out. We see that this is a lower entity that you touched, that you got in contact with. We would suggest to not install them as a guide, but to keep them as a companion, perhaps not to keep them. We do not mean to hold them. But if they approach you, to simply communicate back and forth and find out more about them, ask them questions about themselves, but do not get bound to them and do not install them as entity to take their advice. We suggest you see what resonates there to find out more about this connection, but we do not see it as a guide or a higher level master.
Thank you. This is from Cindy Argiel in Ontario, Canada. Why do I feel such deep sadness, like I could break down and cry, when I see Jesus on a cross anywhere? Recently, my friends and I were looking at a catalog that had different crosses, and one told me I should get a certain one. Before my mind could even contemplate her words, I instantly blurted out, but I couldn't, as I feel too much sadness. I would really like to know what is wrong with me and why I feel this heart-wrenching deep sadness. Thank you.
Thank you. We do not see that there is anything wrong with you. We see that there has been an area of your past life, more than one area, where you have been religious in the Christian religion and have had a lot of affinity for the Christ and have bonded with the religion and the meaning of the cross in those lifetimes. We suggest that you look beyond the cross and you see the arising of Jesus and the joy at the ascension of Jesus and know that it came out okay on the other side. Look to the joy beyond the cross, the joy at seeing Jesus again, the joy of knowing that he still lives, and the joy of knowing that individuals, when they pass on, still live after they transition. They are still alive and experience joy again. Thank you.
Thank you. Question from Gary in Rochester, New York. I've been listening online and enjoying the calls. Thank you for what you do. My question is still about stuckness. I've been feeling stuck in my life recently, and I'm not sure if this is just part of the process or I need to do something to counteract it. I feel like I'm blocked and no energy is flowing. I don't know why. Can I get some feedback on this, and what can I do to overcome it if I should?
Thank you. We look at what is happening here, and we see that what is happening here is normal. You are getting the symptoms that are telling you that there needs to be change. And one of the things when an individual is looking in their identity, they get the feeling of, as you do, stuckness. They can get these feelings of stuckness. And it is telling you that there is a stuckness. You are reading a situation correctly, and you are wishing to move on beyond the stuckness. There is a certain boredom in the pattern of the life as it goes on, and there doesn't seem to be moving out of this pattern or progressing. So what you are getting are the symptoms that you then, after reviewing them, know that there is something more. There is something to move into. There is an unstuckness. So we would suggest that you get yourself a little notebook and see what it is that happened just before you feel stuck. So that if you were coming home from your job and you were moving through your day, if there is a pattern to your day that seems at some point that you feel, oh, there's that stuckness feeling again. And then write in your book what you were doing when you felt stuck, and then write in your book what you were doing just before you felt stuck. And you can begin to analyze what it is that makes you feel stuck. Is the feeling the same each time? Does it vary? Is it sometimes more intense or sometimes less intense? And what happened just before? Was there some action going on and you didn't feel stuck, and then suddenly you were back at your place where you stay, and within the place you stay, you felt the stuckness. Was there someone that you were with and having a conversation that during the conversation you felt kind of trapped or stuck? Analyze what it is. When you get home, write it out. What happened? Why is it that you feel stuck? This is a very good sign that you are getting feedback from your life, and analyze the feedback and fine-tune it and see what it is that makes you feel stuck. Sometimes the comparison between what happens before when you didn't feel stuck and suddenly you are feeling stuck can help. Just looking at it can help. There is more. Hold on. Give us a moment. By looking at the areas where you don't feel stuck, you can write those areas down where you didn't feel stuck, and you can do more of that. And you can begin to get direction by what the signals in your life is telling you. And this can be a guide for you. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question. See here. This is from Dave and Mesa. Was the Earth originally a light planet, a paradise planet? I remember hearing somewhere there was a swirling ball of light at one time, and something hit it from space. The part that hit went to the lower densities, where the beings that were on the half of the Earth that got stuck had to learn to navigate in this realm. Is this correct? Can our sources, this is from David Mason, can our sources elaborate? Thank you.
Thank you. There was an area of time. There were different areas of time on this planet. Some areas where life was very, very good, and where people were congenial and life was harmonious. And then there were difficulties that came upon the planet. In there were, there was diversity that was entered onto the planet. There was a life force critical difficulty that was given to the people, and afterwards the planet became a very difficult place. Nuclear weapons have played a part as they enter terrific diversity. They affect the person's light body and make it very difficult for survival, and this was played with on planet Earth. There were areas of nuclear disasters which were purposely set out to disrupt the people. We see that it was a very difficult posture that was entered into the lives of humans on this planet. It has made it very difficult, much more difficult in this planet than in other planets to move forward. We commend each person that is here and is moving forward.
Thank you.
Next question. When you die, it seems like there's, this is from me, when you die, it seems like there's two places, two things which impact what happens to you. One is, and I've heard this said, that you go to the highest place that you've been at in the course of your life, I guess if you choose to go there. In other words, we have a life of ups and downs, and at certain times we may have been more exalted in our life experience and more expanded than at other times. And the other thing is the circumstances of the exact moment of death. For example, we know that there was a there was a planet that exploded, Malbec, and regardless of where the people were in their life experiences, they became a tangled knot. And then there are people that do hospice work or talk to people when they are dying or visit them and hold space, which is making their moment of death in a more loving space. So could you comment on both of these different points of view as to what happens when you die?
Thank you. This is a great question. It's a two-part question. The first part is, do you go to the highest level that you have been? An individual, when they die, they can tend to relive, go back, regain the body as it was at its highest, most beautiful level, and to express that in their light body and in their light body experience. This is one reason that when you are alive on the earth plane, it pays you to ethical and high experience, because it gives you experience that you can draw on later in your life body, and the way that you posture and build your image with using your light body into the transition farther. This will give you stability to move into. Would you repeat the second part of your question?
The second part was comparing the different places you've gone to during your life and the exact moment of death, which, say, could be very traumatic, as in Maldek, or could be someone who is working with you and holding space on your hospital bed, angelic, like for example, what happened with Terry and John Sanborn when she encouraged him to go with the angel and held a loving space for him. So there's two distinct things. One is the point of your highest point during your life, and what happened at the exact moment of death, whether it was trauma, whether it was loving, etc.
Yes. So the first one is that you get a better experience to draw on when you transition. If you have had some very high points in your life, or the highest point in your life can become a reference. The second part of the question, in the posture in which you died, is that important? Yes, it is. As whatever your belief is, it tends to conform to that, and it tends to modulate or to outline your experience. What it is that happens to you goes along with what you believe will happen to you. If you are your body and you will stay with your body, you may simply stay with your body and to go into the grave and to pretend that you are dead for however many years it takes you to become totally bored with that and then to venture out. If you believe that there is no higher realm, you may become a ghost. We refer to one owner of an apartment complex that we ran into that died, and the apartment complex was such a great experience for him that he continued to feel that he owned it, and he would go from door to door and to knock on the doors, and they would open the door, and for an instant they would see him there, and then he would dissolve into the ethers. It was a very frustrating experience for him, as he was unwilling to let go of the ownership of the apartment complex in his life that he had then. So there are a couple of different examples of what might happen according to one's belief system. One, when one believes that they are the body, they may just stay with the body for a time. When one believes that their life was totally fulfilled by owning of the apartment complex, they may continue to walk around and knock on the doors of the apartments trying to keep their ownership in play and their life as they were unwilling to let it go. However, the funny part of it is, if they would let that go, then they could regain a new life, they could reincarnate, and they could then again grow up and own another apartment complex and could then experience the joys of owning that which, as a ghost, was not at all fulfilling to the gentleman and was very frustrating to him because the people did not really talk to him or honor his ownership, and it led really downhill for him, very frustrating until he gets the point. We hope that sheds some light on how a person's belief system can affect what happens after they die. If they expected to move to heaven and see Jesus, then they would be entertained by the angels, and the angels could take them to heaven. They could go to a realm where they could experience help with their transition and help with any of the problems that they had had on their past track. There is help there, but one has to be open to take up the help, to be open to the help. Thank you.
Thank you. We're running over. We have to finish. Cecil, recently your question about Polub. I know that's a Mormon name for something. So resubmit it at another time. I wanted to give all the new people that are on the line the chance to ask their questions. I also want to take a moment of sending the light to Gary Brownlee, who's in the hospital going through some fairly serious stuff. We just ask that he can pull through it for the highest good. And we ask all those sources that are paying attention to us and paying attention to him, please work with him. We ask for rain in California. We ask for just blessings for everyone on that's on our line or listening to our calls or listening to our replays, that you may connect with the higher aspects of
And on that note, 7:59, we have another show coming on BBS, and we will unmute everybody, and where are you? There you are.
Thank you, and we'll see you on Sunday.
Good night.
We love you all. Be well.
Your conference recording has stopped.